Today on the Health Report, we offer succour to the sore knee. We offer reduced worries to women undergoing IVF. We take a hard look at Xanax and persistently large variations in preventable hospital admissions in Australia, particularly looking at Queensland and Victoria. This is a report just released from the Grattan Institute in Melbourne. Stephen Duckett's the Health Programme Director and he joins us from the studio in Melbourne. Welcome, Stephen.
Good afternoon, Norman.
So this is about place. I mean, this is just describe the study to us, because these are extraordinary variations where some parts of Australia, particularly in Queensland and Victoria, 38 places in Queensland, 25 places in Victoria, have a 50% increased average hospitalizations that are preventable, and they've lasted for over a decade.
Yeah, so we got all of the hospital data for Queensland and Victoria, and we analysed, we decided there'd be a threshold of 50% worse than the state average. We used the list of so-called ambulatory care sensitive conditions or potentially preventable hospitalisations.
So these developed. Are ones that just ambulatory care is code for, they could be treated by your GP in the community.
That's right, yeah. That's right. And so we used the list that had been agreed by governments. And so we started by trying to identify those places which had high rates. What we found was that an area with a high rate in 1 year has a 50% chance of being not a high rate the next year.
Really?
So we were quite interested in the extent of persistence that we've got to actually see if something's going to have a place that's got a high rate for 3 years or more, it's likely to stay, whereas if it's only 1 year, it's not likely to stay high. So then we were even tougher and said we're interested in those areas which have had high rates every year for a decade. And it surprised us, we found these places that have, that this is supposed to be potentially preventable hospitalisations where they're more than 50% above the state average every year for a decade.
So what sort of places are we talking about? Are they surprises?
Well, yes and no. We found places in metropolitan areas and in rural areas, remote areas. So some of the Aboriginal communities, Palm Island and so on, Aurukun, have got high rates. Lower socioeconomic status areas in the suburbs like Caboolture in Brisbane or Broadmeadows in Melbourne also have high rates. But what was quite interesting about this, we went in saying, oh, look, all the low socioeconomic status areas are going to have high rates of potentially preventable hospitalisations. But that turned out not to be the case. So in Melbourne...
So it wasn't just about poverty?
It wasn't just about poverty. So in Melbourne, Broadmeadows has got a high rate of potentially preventable hospitalisations every year for a decade. Sunshine never had a high rate of potentially preventable hospitalisations.
And Frankston, which is a bit richer, does too. So
yes. So yeah. It's quite mixed. There are individual... And we also looked at differences in patterns. So in some of these places, a small number of people who have high rates of readmission drive the problem, but in other places it's not readmissions at all, even though many of these are chronic diseases. So it's a very localised issue and quite different in different parts of Australia.
And what sort of conditions are we talking about here?
So the standard sort of list of chronic diseases, angina, diabetes, asthma, but also some acute conditions like dental care, admissions for dental care are also in our list.
And extraordinary variations in dental care.
Well, it's quite extraordinary. So generally, in fact, if you look again at Melbourne, in metropolitan Melbourne, none of the postcodes had high rates of admissions for dental care. But in parts of rural Victoria, there are places which two or three times the state average. So Colac, for example, not a poor area, Mildura have more than twice the state average rate of admission for dental care.
So presumably for extractions.
Extractions, gum disease possibly, and it's probably because neither of those places have had fluoride for very long. They basically fluoridated in 2010 in both of those cases, and so the community didn't have the public health intervention that they should have had in terms of fluoride in the water supply.
So that's one cause. You call these hot spots and maintained heat in many ways over a 10-year period. What are the other factors that differentiate an area that looks very similar on paper yet doesn't have this unacceptably high, unnecessary hospitalisation rate?
Well, all we can analyse is the outcome, that is the hospitalisation, and occasionally we can look at the readmission. Well, we can look at the readmissions and so on, but we actually don't know whether it's because there's just no primary care there or very poor primary care access, or because the primary care is there and is good, but the disease burden is so high. We tried to look at the access to primary care.
So this is general practice.
That's general practice. General practice. Yeah. We asked for Medicare data to enable us to look at age, sex, standardised rates of admission by geographic area, but we weren't allowed access to those data, so we couldn't actually look at the...
I thought the Commonwealth had this new policy that data were open to all with the aim of better health through data.
That's our hope too, Norman, but we were given data with age and sex in it, and we're given data with geography in it, but not near the twain should meet, so we couldn't do standardised
rates. So the new era of open data has not quite arrived.
Not quite in time for our study.
So given you don't know what the causes are, how do you know what the solutions are?
So what we're saying is the action has to be at the local level, and the new organisations that have been created with Commonwealth funding, the primary healthcare networks, in our view, well, they're required by the Commonwealth to set priorities about what they should be doing. And we're suggesting that those organisations need to set priorities for these places which have had such disadvantage for 10 years in a row. They should be investigating what is it that's in the local community, what is it that's not there, what is it that's causing that's driving these admissions, and they should be developing local action. And also, we should be evaluating that. There should be a national evaluation of what's happening in these places, because we've got to learn from each place to another place, because the intervention strategies, what needs to be done, isn't well known, and we don't have a good evidence base for that.
And given it's place-based, it's going to be different for different communities.
Yes, there may be some commonality. So, you know, these are chronic diseases, and so you might say, well, do they have in place self-management programs to teach people how to manage their own chronic disease better?
And does that make a difference?
And does that make a difference? Well, the evidence is it sort of does, but we actually haven't tried that. We haven't evaluated it in the various, does it work in an Aboriginal community? Does it work in a suburban Melbourne or suburban Brisbane and so on?
Well, we watch with interest. Stephen Duckett, thanks for joining us on the Health Report.
Thanks, Norman.
Professor Stephen Duckett, who's Health Program Director at the Grattan Institute, and that report's available on their website. And you're listening to The Health Report here on Radio National, ABC News Radio and CBC Radio in Canada. Welcome to all our Canadian listeners.